Take your Bibles tonight, Daniel chapter 7. A couple weeks ago, we got through the first seven verses. We talked about the dream that Daniel had. It was in the first year of Belshazzar. Remember, Belshazzar was the king of Babylon when he saw the handwriting on the wall, so to speak. So this was in the first year of his reign. Daniel had a dream about four beasts, a lion, a bear, a leopard, and then the fourth beast had no counterpart on the earth. And his dream corresponded to the dream that Nebuchadnezzar had about the statue made out of different metals that we talked about in Daniel chapter 2. And both the statue and the animals depicted the kingdoms of the world. The head of gold and the lion, the head of gold that Nebuchadnezzar saw, the lion that Daniel saw, represented King Nebuchadnezzar and the kingdom of Babylon. The arms of silver and that Nebuchadnezzar saw and the bear that Daniel saw represented Xerxes and the kingdom of the Medes and the Persians. The thighs of brass and the leper represent the Alexander the Great and the Greek kingdom, Macedonian kingdom. And then the fourth beast was not like any of the other three. In fact, the fourth beast was probably seen in a separate vision than the first three, but it corresponded to the legs of iron and then the feet mixed of iron and clay, and it represents that fourth beast that Daniel saw. Now, again, the first three beasts, the lion, the bear, and the leopard, had counterparts, either in the jungle or a zoo. I mean, you can go somewhere and see a lion, a bear, and a leopard. But that fourth beast, there's no counterpart in nature. There's no counterpart that you can see in either land, sea, or air. In verse 7, it says it was dreadful, terribly strong exceedingly, had great iron teeth. And again, those teeth connected to the iron toes of the statue. And that kingdom represents the Roman Empire. There in verse 7, and this is where we finish up, the last phrase, it said it had 10 horns, again corresponding to the 10 toes of the statue that Nebuchadnezzar saw. And the emphasis on this fourth kingdom is not so much on the beginning as upon the end, at least here in Daniel's dream, when he saw the 10 horns and what they represent and how one horn uprooted three and then took power of the 10. Talking about what was going to happen as time on earth comes to an end. So we start in verse 8 tonight, where Daniel writes, "I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things." And again, the 10 horns don't represent a fifth kingdom. They represent a continuation of the fourth kingdom. And it grows out of the head of that beast. And again, what that verse suggests is, you know, the nation of Babylon was conquered. The Medes and the Persians were conquered. The Greeks and the Macedonians were conquered. Rome was never conquered. Okay, it fell apart. We're going to talk about it. It fell apart because of the corruption that came from within, but it was not conquered, and it still exists, even though it's fragmented today in the nations of Europe and Eastern Europe and Western Europe. And so, as a kingdom, as an empire. Again, Rome was not destroyed. It was not conquered. It fell apart because of the internal corruption of some of the Caesars that thought they were gods and weren't God, and absolute power corrupted them. And we know some of the things that they did. History tells us that. But what Daniel's going to see in this vision is that the Roman Empire will be put back together again. And that these 10 horns will represent 10 kings that will appear in the last stage of the Roman Empire. Now, that another little horn, again, is the focus of Daniel's dream. It uproots three of the 10 kings and establishes himself overall. Now, I'll just give you a preview. That little horn is the one we know as the Antichrist. the one that will come and rule the earth the last 3.5 years of the tribulation. And so, again, in this horn, the Bible says there in verse 8, there were eyes like the eyes of a man, and there were a mouth speaking great things. And we know the Antichrist is going to be a blasphemer of God. He's going to defile the temple. And again, that little horn was not in Nebuchadnezzar's dream. And we'll talk more about it, that little horn, when we get down to verse 19, if we get that far tonight. Look at verse 9. I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did set, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. And so in verse 9 there, the scene switches to heaven, and we see the throne of God in heaven. And again, it's probably the same scene as described in the book of Revelations in chapter 4 and 5, where heaven was getting ready for the tribulation that was going to come to earth. Now, it's not in our Bible study tonight, but just I'll tell you where I stand. I believe we as Christians are going to be taken away from this earth before the tribulation starts. I am a pre-tribulationist, and I believe we're going to leave this place before all that starts. But in verse 9 there, we get to peek into heaven. We see the Ancient of Days, who is God the Father. His garments white as snow, talking about his holiness and his righteousness. His hair like pure wool, talking about the infinite wisdom that God has. Throne like a fiery flame, talking about his judgment. And then wheels as burning fire, talking about the power, the omnipotence that God has. Verse 10, a fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment were set, and the books were open. Again, God is getting ready to judge the earth with the tribulation. At the end of the tribulation, now again, Christ is going to come and take all of us out of here, all of us Christians out of here before that, but then he's going to come back at the end of the tribulation, establish his rule on earth, rule for 1,000 years. And again, I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit, but he's going to rule for 1,000 years. Then Satan's going to be loosed. He's going to be thrown into hell for that 1,000 years, chained up, thrown into hell. I wish I could be there to see that. I would cheer. The great deceiver, cast into hell, chained up and cast into hell. But Christ is going to rule for 1,000 years, and Satan's going to be loosed for a while. He's going to gather unrepentant men to himself. There's going to be the battle of Armageddon, which he's going to lose, and then there's going to be the great white throne judgment. And so here in verse 10, we see heaven getting ready before that. Verse 11, I beheld then because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake. Now again, going back to earth, talking about the Antichrist. I beheld even till the beast was slain and his body destroyed and given to the burning flame. Again, the emphasis here in this dream is not on the beginning of the kingdom, but the end. And he's verse 11 is talking about the end where the beast is going to be destroyed and Satan will be sent, the Antichrist, Satan will be sent to the burning flame. As concerning, verse 12, as concerning the rest of the beast, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and time. Again, a reminder that the first three beasts, the head, arms, and thighs of Nebuchadnezzar statues have been destroyed. But the philosophy and the ideology that their kingdoms were built on is seen even in on the earth in the time of tribulation. And again, it's those three other kingdoms are probably expressed in the three great powers which will come against Israel. Revelation talks about it, the king of the north, the king of the south, and the king of the east, all of them intent on destroying the nation of Israel. Verse 13, I saw in the night vision, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. So the Son of Man comes before God. He's given the authority to come to the earth and take the rule on this earth away from the Gentiles and establish his kingdom. Now, this particular passage that Daniel saw, Jesus talked about it when he stood before the Sanhedrin as he was tried before he was crucified. In the book of Mark, chapter 14, the Bible says, "Again the high priest asked him and said unto him, Art thou the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? And Jesus said, I am. And ye shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven." And so Daniel saw all that before it happened. Verse 14, "And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed." Now again, don't think, well, didn't you just say that he's only going to have a kingdom for 1,000 years? I mean, that's what the millennial rule of Christ is, for 1,000 years. That, yes, but that's only part of his everlasting kingdom. I mean, he's going to rule forever. Again, Satan's going to be loosed, and he's going to have to, you know, Christ is going to defeat him in the battle. But that 1,000-year reign is not the only time that Christ is going to reign. That's just part of it. It's only a phase of it. Again, what's going to happen is outlined in the book of Revelation, chapter 20. Okay, so again, Jesus comes back, takes the Christians out of this place. The tribulation comes. The last 3.5 years, the Antichrist is going to rule the earth. That little horn is going to rule the resurrected Roman Empire. At the end of the tribulation, at the end of that 3.5 year rule, Christ is going to come, establish his reign on earth, and we'll reign, and we'll reign with him. We'll come back and we'll reign with him for 1,000 years. After that 1,000 years, Satan's going to be released. Again, there'll still be people on the earth. They'll follow him because they've never received Christ. They're still going to rebel against God, and they'll follow Satan's leadership, and they'll fight against God, and he'll lose. He'll lose. Then be cast into hell forever. Then the lost will stand before the great white throne judgment and be judged for their sins, and then the eternal kingdom will come. I think we're going to stop there tonight. In verses 15 and 16, Daniel asks some questions. He wants to understand what all this means, and he asks one of those that were on the scene there, one of the heavenly beings, and they take the time to explain, but we'll just be getting started and it'll be time to quit. So we'll go ahead and quit 1 minute early tonight. Thank you for being here. Please continue to pray for those that we've mentioned tonight. You know, there's not a lot that we can do, but we can pray. And prayer is a lot. Prayer means so much. So please be faithful in your prayers for those in our church family that are hurting tonight. Let's stand together. We'll have a word of prayer. Be dismissed. Be careful as you go home. Men will be praying back here in the back room if you'd like to join them. Ladies will be over here if you'd like to join them. But thank you again for being here tonight.